You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Yeah, hi, Jim. It's Friday morning. It's our chance to get together, you and I, plus with our listeners out there in... Where do you think they are?
They're everywhere, Bob. They're across the planet.
Right.
And maybe listening in outer space.
Maybe
on the International Space Station?
Yeah.
And that secret space station they don't tell us about.
Right, yeah.
Because they're keeping an eye on their investments.
Yeah.
Wondering if they should come back or not.
It's worth coming back, I tell you. Now, we had a question.
Yes, from H. Back. Hello, Bob. Back in January, you recommended this list of gold mining juniors explorers. It's a long list.
Yeah.
We won't go through that.
Yeah.
The good news, this list seems to be up 30% on average year to date. The not so good news, the broad-based gold explorer ETF, GOEX, and the gold junior ETF, GDXJ, are up more with a 34 and 34.5% increase year to date.
Yeah, those are the numbers. And what I think we've got going here is that at the bottom, from a major bottom for the gold stocks, when it turns around, it's the seniors that move up first, then the middling size, and then at last and finally, the juniors move up. So yes, the ETF GDXJ has outperformed, but that's also worth mentioning that the GDXJ was, XJ means juniors. They've all been successful. They're all big companies now, so it's no longer an index of juniors. So we like this approach, and we understand that first the seniors rally, then the middling size, and then finally the juniors. So, yeah, it's still going to be a good place to be.
Wow, and to quibble over 4%, a 30.5% increase and a 34% increase. Either way, you still made money here, buddy.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, I think it'll kick in as the bull market, as this leg up matures, it'll eventually suck up the juniors.
Plus, if there's more demand for gold, you're going to have to find it somewhere.
And who looks for it? The
junior. Ooh, the little juniors.
And if a junior makes a discovery, they go. In 1996, we did a list of five juniors. They were all just penny stocks, and it was going into a good exploration market, so made the list, and one of them was Arequipa, and it went to $30. It was taken over, I think, by Barrick on a market cap at $1.1 billion from a little small cap junior. That's the way it can work. And then, as was also pointed out in the memo, sometimes there'll be some turkeys that'll get stuck.
Right.
And we've had those, yeah.
And with the juniors, though, that's where you have the potential for just a major, as you guys call it, what, 10-bagger or something?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember that phrase a while ago. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. Now, is this part of this drive? Central banks around the world, except Canada and the UK, obviously they hate gold here, but everybody else is stocking up on gold. Why, Bob?
Yeah, some central banks, as reported, are adding to their gold reserve or to their reserves, and the central bankers got out of whack when too many economists. Well, they were bankers at one time, and then too many economists got involved. So they came up with this really bizarre theory that you should get a return out of your bank reserve. So then you got into all kinds of short-term, longer-term, medium-term interest rate items and bonds. Well, hell, they can get whipsawed around. But the concept is of a reserve has always been gold. So this is their act. I don't know what the reasoning is, because we haven't had a chance to talk to any of these central bankers that are increasing their gold reserves. And I don't know what the reasoning is, but they're doing the right thing. Just leave it at that.
Well, it's Russia and China. I don't think their people talk to anyone.
No, they don't. But
or if they do talk to you.
There's some other central banks who are buying, adding to their gold reserves. And, gold in any bank, gold is the real reserve. So, but it's nice to see.
Was it a mistake for the UK and Canada to sell off their gold reserves at bargain prices?
Oh, it was for sure. Yeah.
Should they start stocking up?
Canada was a patsy on that one. Yeah.
Yeah. Should they start stocking up gold again?
Oh, yeah. Bank of Canada should be accumulating gold. Yeah. Yeah.
Is one of the excuses the government gives in Canada is that Canada has lots of gold in the ground, so we can just count on that as being our reserve. It doesn't have to be actually brought up and processed and so on.
That's sort of what an educated person would call specious reasoning.
Well, that's like the city of Vancouver taxing a two-story building as a 56-story building because they could be 56.
Oh, I hadn't seen or heard about that.
Oh, yeah. That's why so many small businesses in downtown Vancouver have closed, because they can't afford the taxes, because they're being taxed on a potential of a 56-story building instead of the two-story building that they're actually in.
So the retail outlets then are being shut and being left empty.
That's right.
It's ridiculous.
Well, they want them to be torn down and turned into 56-story towers.
Right. Yeah.
So that's one way to force people to do it. Now, being taxed for something that you don't do. Remember the artist Tony Onley, who did the beautiful West Coast landscapes?
Oh, yeah. I liked his work.
Yes. I've got one. It's the prominent artwork on my wall. Is the Chrétien government was going to tax him on unsold paintings. And he said these aren't widgets, because some paintings I give away as gifts.
Yeah.
You know, art, the value of art is in the eye of the beholder. To you, what is a piece of junk to another person is a brilliant piece of art.
Yeah.
You know, so he said, if you're going to tax my unsold artworks, I'm going to burn them. And he piled them up on the beach, and he was prepared to do it. And finally, the government backed down.
What a wonderful story, Jim. I love that story. Yeah.
We'll be taking a look at some of the headlines that caught Bob's eye right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. Bob, some of the headlines that caught your eye. Wall Street frenzy creates $11 billion debt market for AI groups buying NVIDIA chips.
That sounds incredible, but huge amount of debt going into AI stories. That's artificial intelligence. And who knows how long this fad may last. It's very faddish activity.
Well, as we know, AI needs a lot of power to run all of those servers.
Oh, yeah. And ideally, if they want to have it in a cold climate, so maybe capacity built in Newfoundland or something like that might work.
Yeah.
I don't know.
In Alberta, they were using leftover natural gas reserves to power one of these server factories, and it sounded like a bunch of 747s taking off right next to your house.
Ooh, yeah.
They're going, well, it's a rural area, but even in a rural area, especially in a flat place, sound travels a long way.
Yeah.
Foreclosures in China soar, threatening to choke off bank profits.
Yep, there's another one, and we've been seeing dismal headlines from China that this series is dropping, or that economic. And then also, you occasionally get one in the U.S. about some economic series plunging. And while they haven't pulled the pin on the economy yet, and I think everything going to stick together till the end of the year, maybe into January. Oh, I know, yeah. Often you can have dullness in the markets in November, and then followed by a unique rally into January. And silver in 1988 was one of the outstanding ones. Also, the New York Stock Exchange into January 1973, which was followed by a lengthy bear market down until December of 1974. And I think it took until 1987 to break even on it. So anyways, this is a market phenomenon that's always fascinating, is the prospect of a sharp rally in something into January, followed by a failure. So we're looking at that one, that the stock market can be strong into January.
Another headline that you don't have here, but I do. China unveils a $1.4 trillion local debt package, but no direct stimulus. In other words, if your local government owes money, they'll pay off that debt for you, and it goes to the national government, which then, of course, can do what, Bob? Print money?
Yeah, and cover it one way or another. But you were talking about more than $1 trillion. It's immense numbers. But it all eventually catches up, because a post-bubble contraction, and you've never had a bubble that wasn't followed by a post-bubble contraction, and they are serious, and they... Mother Nature rules, I'll tell you, and everybody offside gets destroyed in a post-bubble contraction. So, I at various times call a post-bubble contraction a depression. So let's actually, since 1880, after the 1873 bubble, and London was then the financial capital of the world, the recession and economy was weaker than for longer than expected. So in 1880, senior economists in London began calling it the Great Depression, which was the first usage of the Great Depression that I've found in the literature. And then, of course, you then had that depression bottom completed in 1895, then the long expansion up to the 1920 boom in commodities, and then a decade later, the boom in stocks, 1929, and then the crash and another depression. That's the way it works.
Now, if I recall that event back in Victorian times, they had high tariffs on imported food, and people were starving in the street. They were trying to protect British farmers.
Oh, yeah, you had some of that, yeah, the Reform Acts and all kinds of protectionist stuff. There are times when governments just go crazy.
Are tariffs a good way for a government to replace taxes?
I mentioned that you tax real things, items you consume, you tax customs, you know, stuff like that, you know. So that's the way it used to run, and the move to income taxes was considered immoral.
That's right. Income tax was brought in 1917 in Canada as a temporary measure to fund the First World War, and it only applied to the top 5% of income earners. Well, Bob, I guess we're still paying off the First World War.
Somehow I don't feel like one of the top 5% in earners.
I'm certainly not. maybe at the other end of it. Now, another headline from Yahoo. Investors are counting on Jay Powell to keep Fed rate cut plans on track. They just had a cut this week.
This is important because the street really believes that the Fed cuts will keep the party going. But if you go and actually the Fed follows what goes on in Treasury bills, those are set by market forces. And if you take a look at the real history on these things, short rates such as T-bills go up in the boom, and the Fed follows with Fed rates going up, and then T-bill rates go down with the bust, and the Fed follows by making Fed cuts. But the problem is that every decline in interest rates is a disaster. We've got a wonderful chart here of the S&P against the T-bill rate. And you can look at it, and not only does the S&P go down with short rates, the biggest plunges in short rates are associated with the biggest plunges in the stock market. So these guys are now positive because short rates are going to be cut. They're absolutely dead wrong.
Well, something I found here during our research, U.S. mortgage rates are actually going up, even though the Fed is cutting interest rates. Why is that happening, Bob? I thought it was supposed to help the housing market.
You got to get the distinction. In a post-bubble contraction, the T-bill rate goes down. And the rates for most everything else, if you had lower-grade securities, like junk bonds, they not only go to zero, but they default. So you get enough junk bonds in default, failing, that it takes the liquidity out of the market that might buy long treasuries. So even long treasuries get hit in a post-bubble world. Oh, listen, we're using the term depression, right? Okay, depression. So, yeah, so this is a major blunder of the first order, and it is strictly intuitive. And we're going to say that short rates go up confirms the boom, and that's a good thing. Short rates going down confirms that the boom is over, and you're in a depression, and that's a bad thing.
Right after Donald Trump was reelected president, the stock market took off like crazy. Tesla, probably the biggest winner. Is this upward trend going to continue, or does this happen after every presidential election?
Well, no, I think I took it as just it was very good news for Trump to win, and it was very good news that the Republicans increased their majority in the Senate. And that's now in the market, and it was a plus, and that's good. But now we want to look at market forces. And as we said, oftentimes the market can do a uniquely strong move into January. And this is what we think is going to happen. Now, that January may set an important high.
And our final headline from Breitbart, retired colonel says, veterans resent Kamala Harris, Cheney, and Democrats.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, these are warmongers and inflationists, you know, and actually Prime Minister Trudeau is part of this. And a while ago, he's still focused on global warming of all things, and he's got to raise carbon taxes to save the planet, which is now 30 years out of date, and it's not working. It's just ridiculous stuff. So anyways, with Trudeau, he talked about advancing more money for the struggle in Ukraine, backing Ukraine, but they had to accept his work on global warming. Otherwise, he wouldn't give the money. I mean, the guy's a madman, you know. Well, let's put it this way. He's an authoritarian, and he's admitted that he admires communist government because when it comes to climate, they can make a decision, turn on a dime, and impose it. Well, this is what Trudeau is attempting to do. He was attempting to shut down oil and gas. And I liked what the Premier of Alberta said, that Trudeau Senior, you know, 50 years ago, he stole the energy from Alberta oil. Whereas Trudeau the younger, he wants to destroy it. It's really is a form of madness out there.
Also, I know President Trump is very concerned about Canada's lack of spending on the military. And right now, just looking at a recent article, Canada's armed forces are approximately short 16,500 positions.
Well, they've been slow, and they've been having trouble recruiting. Because the military presents a woke image. No, now with a change in government in Canada, which is inevitable, to Poilievre, who is a very effective leader of the opposition, that'll change. It'll go back to being Canada as a proud military country.
Well, and of course, why would I be, you would be underpaid in the Canadian military, which at one time was one of the best paid militaries in the world, mm-hmm. and you're going to be getting into equipment that's more than 40 years old.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I said, if you want to see a good display of Korean War equipment, go to Canadian Armed Forces Base. That's an exaggeration, but 40-year-old equipment in the modern battlefield where you're facing autonomous drones and hypersonic missiles, Canada is basically using, you know, Vietnam War technology. And we saw how that turned out.
Well, the Ottawa political establishment does not like the military, and that is that. But with a change of government and a political reform going on in Canada, in Ottawa, that can turn for the better.
And we'd like to salute all of our veterans as we come up to Remembrance Day. And I believe it's Veterans Day in the U.S.?
Yeah, yeah.
And I even have an uncle who was a Lancaster pilot in the Second World War. And for his heroic efforts, posthumously, they named a lake, Melnick Lake in Saskatchewan, after him.
Isn't that a nice story? Yeah. Yeah, I had an uncle who served a technical guy on a Lancaster base on the in England, over on the east side, there where they had their major air bases. And, he had some interesting stories, but he was ground crew, so.
Yeah, well, you know, they suffered, too, because those were their friends flying off every night not returning.
But Norm told me ages ago that at the end of the war, they took the ground crew guys and put them in a Lancaster and flew over and low over the cities that had been destroyed by the bombing. He said it was quite the sight.
Again, we thank them all for their service.
Yeah, yeah.
Bob, hopefully we'll end next week's show on a happier note.
Oh, yeah, we're going to be happy. English prisoners, you will be happy in your work. Oh, sorry, that's a dreadful aside. So,
I used to have a boss who would shout at you, "Cheer up! That's an order."
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, it was the Captain Bly instruction. Floggings will continue until the morale of the crew improves.
Arr.
Yeah. Okay.
Next week.
Indeed.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy. If you have any questions for Bob or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.